Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into receiving cores who had low expectation of points in 2021. And we're going to start here with the Philadelphia Eagles. The worst expectation in terms of points from the wide receiver position, 25.6. Then they underperformed it at 24.6 points per game. That was the 31st in terms of performance. 4% under expectation. Listen, 27th in design pass rate, 21st in design play, in actual play amount, the amount of plays. And that's what you can expect. I think the big takeaway from this, watch the teams. Philadelphia, what did they do? They went out and got AJ Brown, right? Do we think maybe some of those numbers might change? Maybe. That would sort of be the initial thing that I would say. Are they going to take some of the poor performance, I guess, from Jalen Reagor and give it to player like AJ Brown, who's better? Probably, right? I think that's probably what's going to happen. So, and then to some of the pacing stuff change and the like there, that, right? Those, I think, are the questions that you should be asking. Devonta Smith, right about at expectation for where he was last year, 17.4% target share, and that was in 17 games. So, again, he was decent across the board, but more of a wide receiver two than a wide receiver one. Profile, again, quick starter in terms of yards per route run, though, keep that in mind, at 1.77. that's a good indicator. Notable also, 1.58 yards per route run for Quez Watkins, well above expectation there for him, and he was 88th percentile versus expectation in yards per route run. So a name to keep in mind. I know he's getting some camp buzz, he's more of a depth option, but an interesting name nonetheless to keep your eye on. If, you know, 40 man, something like that, he might be in your roster and some more wide receivers. He might be a guy to keep in mind as a potential injury away wide receiver two that could be relevant here down the line. I like those expectation numbers. All right, next up is Atlanta, and just an overall us show. But again, what else do we see? We see major change at quarterback. And I don't think this is Matt Ryan's fault. I wouldn't say that's Matt Ryan's fault. It's the fact that Russell Gage was a wide receiver one because Calvin Ridley was out. That's really what it is. Calvin Ridley plays 5 games. Russell Gage plays 14. Olamide Zaccheaus plays 17. Right, your leading target share guy is at 14.8% on the season. There's just a lot of questions that you would have there. So, and a lot of holes to fill. What did they do? They changed quarterbacks. They moved on from Matt Ryan. And again, I don't think this is a Matt Ryan fault, but they bring in Marcus Mariota. They draft Drake London, right? These things cannot stand, right? This is kind of that type of scenario. 30th in terms of plays, 9th in terms of design dropback rate. So go back thinking about some of the stuff from Tennessee. With Arthur Smith, when he was the OC there, they did a ton of running, very aggressive in terms of that. Listen, much more pass-centric team. Again, were they playing from ahead and playing with the ability to run the ball at will when they wanted to? No, but slow pacing as well. That is probably going to hold back the offense generally from a point-scoring perspective. And I don't see a ton here outside of London and Pitts and Patterson really as a running back type slash hybrid type player being super relevant in the offense. Again, 15% below expectation last year, the worst team in terms of total points at the receiver position. Not a good situation there in Atlanta, but they've made changes. We'll see what they can do. Another team that made changes, Cleveland, 27.9 expected points per game out of the wide receiver position. That's good for 30th. They scored 26 points per game. That was good for 29th at the position. So it's minus 7%, negative 7% in terms of expectation. That's good for 19th. Listen, what do? They go out and get Deshaun Watson. They go get Amari Cooper. They let Odell Beckham Jr. walk. They let Jarvis Landry walk. And, you know, I there's a lot of change. A lot of change. I think there is a real question about how this team looks in September, right? About how all the stuff with Watson unfolds, how all the stuff with Amari Cooper unfolds, in terms of what his role can be, any surrounding players. But Amari Cooper is very much in a could be high volume role for his career, really. Could be at the ceiling of his target share and target total number there. They, for what it's worth, they didn't run a ton of had a relatively low design pass rate at 26%, and they ran 23rd in terms of actual plays at 60 plays per game. So a tough combo there in terms of they played slow and didn't run the ball and didn't throw the ball a lot. So hopefully with some better offensive pieces, specifically at quarterback, they're able to sort of up the ante a little bit there. When you look at when you look at the receivers specifically, you're losing a lot of targets out of Jarvis Landry. You're losing that work there for Odell Beckham Jr. But you look at guys, Donovan Peoples-Jones was at about just short of 10% last year in terms of his expectation. He well overperformed expectation. I'm sorry, he was at just under 10% in terms of target share. In terms of expectation, he well overperformed it. So that's when you could say, like, you take kind of a look at it and say, all right, 82nd percentile in terms of over expectation. That's an interesting early career production point. So at 1.46 in terms of yards per route run, that's officially on an early season, an early career of interest list. Next up, New Orleans, and more changes, right? What do? They go get Chris Olave. They bring in Jarvis Landry. They change quarterbacks. Sorry, they change coaches. They bring back Jameis Winston. I think a lot of this was a very run-centric sort of bridled offense, right? Keep this thing tightly under control. Don't let it explode on us, and we'll try and win it other ways. That's really a lot of what their season was last year. Some of that probably by design, guarding against the Jameis Winston blow up. Some of it was a forced situation, more so because Jameis got hurt and you're playing guys like Ian Book and you're doing it without Michael Thomas. And you're really swimming upstream, into the current, looking at their offense. Again, some of that's probably by choice, some of that is probably by necessity. So I do think the investment, that there's probably more room for this offense to grow from a pass, from a receiving centric perspective, especially given how much they've invested in it, right? That's kind of signals that to you for me. So what I'm interested is how the scheme changes without Peyton. I think that'll be the interesting watch, because they were really run heavy, and that hasn't been a staple of what they've been. But again, I think that was more out of necessity than maybe desire. Next up is the New England Patriots. They had 29.2 expected points per game. They overproduced it, and one of the top 10 in terms of teams overproducing their expectations. They were, again, 28th at 29.2 expected points per game, and they scored 30.6. So that's 21st, but 4.7% over expectation. I think you look at guys in this offense, and there's not really a clear standout other than, hey, look, Mac Jones can actually perform over expectation. Now, I have concerns about a former defensive coordinator calling plays. That is a very real and I think legitimate concern in terms of, structure of the offense in terms of overperforming. But you look at guys, 7.1 targets per game out of Jacoby Myers. It's just short of 21% target share in 17 games. He was expected for 36 points per game. He actually scored 43, but that was really across the board for him. He had more receptions than expected, but underperformed in receiving yards and in touchdowns. So he had 2 touchdowns. He was expected for about 4. So 121 targets should definitely put him sort of in the relevance range. And he just missed expectation last year. So he's one that I think we'll be interested to watch for here going forward. No one else was expected in the top 80 at the receiver position. Denver and more changes, right? I guess New England changes from being, right, their decision to change is to bring in a defensive coordinator to call plays. Denver's decision to rectify their passing offense was to bring in Russell Wilson. So that's more like it. 29.8 points per game expected last year, 26.2. They were 13.8 under expectation. That's a bottom five number in the NFL. So everything, the system wasn't good and they performed poorly is basically it. I think a lot of that can be blamed on the quarterback position. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, never going to be big fantasy producers. And you get a guy who has consistently shown the ability to rise people above expectations. Every wide receiver last year, in terms of Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Kendall Hinton actually performed at expectation at 2.4 points per game, so for what that's worth. KJ Hamler, all under expectation last year. So across the board, it's across the board, really. And Tim Patrick's right about the number in terms of yardage. Everyone else is basically under in yardage. Everyone is under expectation in touchdowns, which should be no shock considering Teddy Bridgewater is basically Mr. Don't Throw Touchdowns. And you start looking at some of the stuff here. Cortland Sutton had an expected yards per route run of 1.66 and performed at 1.43. Again, that's a 75th percentile type outcome. So just for what that's worth, actually Jerry Jeudy, an 87th percent outcome and 87th percentile outcome in terms of expected yards per route run at 1.94, underproduced it. But it's an interesting, he was actually the bigger chunk of in terms of the expectation last year and the actual performance on a route run basis. The problem was didn't run a ton of routes, right? And actually played, he played in 10 games last year. The other guys played in 16 and 17. So that's obviously a contributing factor in the routes. But even then he ran 253 in terms of routes. That is, compared to Cortland Sutton, who ran basically more than double that in 17 games. So, he was still really a behind. Yeah, he was not the leading option in this offense. It didn't really look like it. His targets per route run were better, though, at 21.3%, and that would be good for that's good for 80th percentile. So good performance there in terms of some of the outlying metrics there, if you were to look at Jeudy. Indy, another team, what did they do? They changed their quarterback. What's curious to me is how they are going to support that changed quarterback. That would be the big question that I would have is, are they in a spot to really help him overperform? They have Michael Pittman. I think they really need to step forward from a guy like Paris Campbell. They brought in Alec Pierce. So, I mean, in a good world, Pittman's a true one, and Paris Campbell's operates more like a healthy two, and Pierce comes along and can be a weapon, and then you've got, you know, some guys that can develop, Mo Alie Cox, Jelani Woods at tight end. That doesn't seem to really fit the Matt Ryan timeline. That would be my big concern there with Matt Ryan. 30.2 expected points per game out of the receiver position, 29.5 actual performance. They were right in the median there relative to expectation. So some pause there that I would have, generally speaking, about the team overall is the design pass rate, which is at 28th out of 32 teams. They were 31st in dropbacks per game. They were 23rd in plays per game. Some of that obviously is the fact that they've got 28. Some of that is the fact that they're trying to hide Wentz. And as a result, like those things mix, and it's a little bit more of a slower offense designed around the run than it is the receivers. And honestly, if you're going to try and hide something on your team, right, go with the thing that's not very good and highlight the guy that massively overperformed expectation in the running game, right? That's good, solid sense. But now they've decided to change that a bit. I think that Matt Ryan can probably elevate this and doesn't play, and they don't play to 26th in terms of expected points would sort of be my hunch. And last but not least, we have Chicago. Again, they fired their head coach, who was their offensive play caller, or sort of was, or didn't want to take responsibility for it. Who really knows? 31.1 expected points per game, 25th, 27.6, and actually 27th in terms of actual performance, almost 13% under expectation. Really poor performance there across the board for Chicago. I guess my position here would be, how does this get better? Right. I think Darnell Mooney, a concentration with Darnell Mooney would help him. But the position they lose, they have lost Allen Robinson, and I don't think they have a ton more to replace him with. So that's really my pause there. Velus Jones, again, he wasn't super productive in college, so we'll see there where he's at. But they did some friendly stuff in terms of the passing game, and that's one of the concerns. They were 11th in terms of design dropback rate. They were 23rd in terms of play rate, so that's not great. But they were 14th in terms of dropbacks per game at 38.9. So some of that's probably system. Some of that's probably rookie quarterback and the like there. I wonder how they really right the ship, especially trying to support a young quarterback in Justin Fields, or even honestly, if this new system is really trying to do that. But you look, expectation, Darnell Mooney was under it last year, 14.5 points per game in terms of expectation. When you look at that, that was actually good for 18th, and then he performed 31st in terms of total points per game. He was expected for almost 2 yards per route run last year. So really good in terms of expectation for him, and everyone else was pretty bad, would sort of be the thought. So I think he's a player that probably can elevate even a bad situation, and he's probably going to need to take on more. And some of the stuff here, I think, points to that he can do it. Again, his expected yards per route run was 88th percentile. So there's a lot there in terms of what he offers that I think could help them be better and really concentrate in an offense with him. Again, I mentioned him sort of in the range. I think it was on the last show. I mentioned him in the range of Hopkins and the like, sort of in that 8th to 12th round range type of deal. If you want to double hit that with a couple guys or even triple hit that, Mooney makes a lot of sense sort of where he is valued in that range. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. A depressing under expectation, but I think themes consistent. There are coaching changes for Chicago, Denver, New Orleans, and then you look, there's offensive coordinator changes as well for New England, which isn't a good thing. And New Orleans has a different, obviously, play caller as well. So lots there, and changing quarterbacks for Atlanta, Cleveland, and Denver, and Indy. So bad teams. Again, this is maybe a lesson here that we've learned. And I did some work on this in a prior iteration of AOD, but really teams that are bad at passing change. There's a lot of change there, and that's a lot of times the reason why you get fired. And maybe not necessarily the owner sitting there and saying, oh, look, you're 29th in terms of expected points of your wide receiver, but it is a good symbol, I guess, of really what you're doing in the passing game. And if you're your passing game isn't good, you're not winning in the modern NFL. And if you're not winning in the modern NFL, you're getting fired pretty quickly. So that's kind of the deal with this position more, you know, this some of the stuff. And it changes a lot, right? You change, or you got to get a better quarterback. Like, we need to fix this problem. This is a problem to fix. So I would expect we'll see some other teams in this next year and of similarly situated. Or if there's teams in this range next year that are the same, I would expect that we will see some more turnover from them in terms of coaching or their quarterback play. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.